听力课堂，听 class.com。
听力考试现在开始。
College English Test, Band 6, Part 3, Listening Comprehension.
Section A, Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now, let's begin with the 8 short conversations. Question 11. Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot to bring along the book you borrowed from the library.
What a terrible memory you have. Anyway, I won't need it until Friday night. As long as I can get it by then, okay?
What do we learn from this conversation?
Question 12. Doctor, I haven't been able to get enough sleep lately, and I'm too tired to concentrate in class.
Well, you know, spending too much time indoors with all that artificial lighting can do that to you. Your body loses track of whether it's day or night.
What does the man imply?
Question 13. I think I'll get one of those new T-shirts. You know, with the school's logo on both the front and the back.
You'll regret it. They're expensive, and I've heard the printing fades easily when you wash them.
What does the woman mean?
Question 14. I think your article in the school newspaper is right on target, and your viewpoints have certainly convinced me.
Thanks. But in view of the general responses, you and I are definitely in the minority.
What does the man mean?
Question 15. Daisy was furious yesterday because I lost her notebook. Should I go see her and apologize to her again?
Well, if I were you, I'd let her cool off a few days before I approach her.
What does the woman suggest the man do? Question 16. Would you please tell me where I can get batteries for this brand of camera?
Let me have a look. Oh, yes. Go down this aisle past the garden tools. You'll find them on the shelf next to the light bulbs.
What is the man looking for? Question 17. Our basketball team is playing in the finals, but I don't have a ticket. I guess I'll just watch it on TV. Do you want to come over?
Actually, I have a ticket, but I'm not feeling well. You can have it for what it cost me.
What do we learn from the conversation? Question 18. Honey, I'll be going straight to the theater from work this evening. Could you bring my suit and tie along?
Sure. It's the first performance of the State Symphony Orchestra in our city, so suit and tie is a must.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Now you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1.
I got two letters this morning with job offers. One from the Polytechnic and the other from the language school in Pistoia, Italy.
So you're not sure which to go for?
That's it. Of course, the conditions of work are very different. The Polytechnic's offering a 2-year contract, which could be renewed. But the language school is only offering a year's contract, and that's a definite minus. It could be renewed, but you never know.
I see. So it's much less secure. But you don't need to think too much about steady jobs when you're only 23.
That's true.
What about the salaries?
Well, the Pistoia job pays much better in the short term. I'd be getting the equivalent of about £22,000 a year there, but only £20,000 at the Polytechnic. But then the hours are different. At the Polytechnic, I'd have to do 35 hours a week, 20 teaching and 15 administration, whereas the Pistoia school is only asking for 30 hours teaching. Then the type of teaching is so different. The Polytechnic is all adults and mostly preparation for exams like the Cambridge certificates. The language school wants me to do a bit of exam preparation, but also quite a lot of work in companies and factories and a couple of children's classes. Oh, and a bit of literature teaching.
Well, that sounds much more varied and interesting. And I'd imagine you'd be doing quite a lot of teaching outside the school and moving around quite a bit.
Yes. Whereas with the Polytechnic position, I'd be stuck in the school all day.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What do we learn about the man from the conversation? Question 20. What do we learn about the students at the Polytechnic? Question 21. What does the woman think of the job at the language school?
Conversation 2.
Good evening, and welcome to tonight's edition of Legendary Lives. Our subject this evening is James Dean, actor and hero for the young people of his time. Edward Murray is the author of a new biography of Dean. Good evening, Edward.
Hello, Tina.
Edward, tell us what you know about Dean's early life.
He was born in Indiana in 1931. But his parents moved to California when he was 5. He wasn't there long, though, because his mother passed away just 4 years later. Jimmy's father sent him back to Indiana after that to live with his aunt.
So how did he get into acting?
Well, first he acted in plays at high school. Then he went to college in California, where he got seriously into acting. In 1951, he moved to New York to do more stage acting.
Then, when did his movie career really start?
1955. His first starring role was in East of Eden. It was fabulous. Dean became a huge success. But the movie that really made him famous was his second one, Rebel Without a Cause. That was about teenagers who felt like they didn't fit into society.
So how many more movies did he make?
Just one more. Then he died in that car crash in California in 1955.
What a tragedy. He only made 3 movies. So what made him the legend he still is today?
Well, I guess his looks, his acting ability, his short life, and maybe the type of character he played in his movies. Many young people saw him as a symbol of American youth. Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 22. What is the woman doing? Question 23. Why did James Dean move back to Indiana when he was young? Question 24. What does the man say James Dean did at college in California? Question 25. What do we learn about James Dean from the conversation?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Passage 1. The time is 9 o'clock, and this is Maureen Snow with the news. The German authorities are sending investigators to discover the cause of the plane crash late yesterday on the island of Tenerife. The plane, a Boeing 737, taking German holidaymakers to the island, crashed into a hillside as it circled while preparing to land. The plane was carrying 180 passengers. It's thought there are no survivors. Rescue workers are at the scene. The British industrialist James Lewis, held by kidnappers in Central Africa for the past 8 months, was released unharmed yesterday. The kidnappers had been demanding £1 million for the release of Mr. Lewis. The London Bank and their agents, who have been negotiating with the kidnappers, have not said whether any amount of money has been paid. The 500 UK motors workers who have been on strike in Hightown for the past 3 weeks went back to work this morning. This follows successful talks between management and union representatives, which resulted in a new agreement on working hours and conditions. A spokesman for the management said that they'd hope they could now get back to producing cars, and that they'd lost a lot of money and orders over this dispute. And finally, the weather. After a cold start, most of the country should be warm and sunny, but towards late afternoon, rain will spread from Scotland to cover most parts by midnight.
Questions 26 to 29 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. What does the news say about the Boeing 737 plane? Question 27. What happened to British industrialist James Lewis? Question 28. How did the 3-week strike in Hightown end? Question 29. What kind of weather will be expected by midnight in most parts of the country? Passage 2. Juan Ruiz, a junior geology major, decided to give an informative speech about how earthquakes occur. From his audience analysis, he learned that only two or three of his classmates knew much of anything about geology. Juan realized then that he must present his speech at an elementary level and with a minimum of scientific language. As he prepared the speech, Juan kept asking himself, "How can I make this clear and meaningful to someone who knows nothing about earthquakes or geological principles?" Since he was speaking in the Midwest, he decided to begin by noting that the most severe earthquake in American history took place not in California or Alaska, but at New Madrid, Missouri, in 1811. If such an earthquake happened today, it would be felt from the Rocky Mountains to the Atlantic Ocean and would flatten most of the cities in the Mississippi Valley. That, he figured, should get his classmates' attention. Throughout the body of the speech, Juan dealt only with the basic mechanics of earthquakes and carefully avoided technical terms. He also prepared visual aids diagramming fault lines so his classmates wouldn't get confused. To be absolutely safe, Juan asked his roommate, who was not a geology major, to listen to the speech. "Stop me," he said, "any time I say something you don't understand." Juan's roommate stopped him four times, and at each spot, Juan worked out a way to make his point more clearly. Finally, he had a speech that was interesting and perfectly understandable to his audience.
Questions 30 to 32 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 30. What did Juan Ruiz learn from the analysis of his audience? Question 31. How did Juan Ruiz start his speech? Question 32. What did Juan ask his roommate to do when he was making his trial speech? Passage 3. Esperanto is an artificial language designed to serve internationally as an auxiliary means of communication among speakers of different languages. It was created by Ludwig Lazar Zamenhof, a Polish-Jewish doctor specialized in eye diseases. Esperanto was first presented in 1887. An international movement was launched to promote its use. Despite arguments and disagreements, the movement has continued to flourish and has members in more than 80 countries. Esperanto is used internationally across language boundaries by at least 1 million people, particularly in specialized fields. It is used in personal contacts, on radio broadcasts, and in a number of publications, as well as in translations of both modern works and classics. Its popularity has spread from Europe, both East and West, to such countries as Brazil and Japan. It is, however, in China that Esperanto has had its greatest impact. It is taught in universities and used in many translations, often in scientific or technological works. El Popola Chinio, which means from people's China, is a monthly magazine in Esperanto. and is read worldwide. Radio Beijing's Esperanto program is the most popular program in Esperanto in the world. Esperanto's vocabulary is drawn primarily from Latin, the Romance languages, English, and German. Spelling is completely regular. A simple and consistent set of endings indicates grammatical functions of words. Thus, for example, every noun ends in O, every adjective in A, and the basic form of every verb in I. Esperanto also has a highly productive system of constructing new words from old ones.
Questions 33 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 33. What does the speaker tell us about Esperanto? Question 34. What is said about the international movement to promote the use of Esperanto? Question 35. What does the speaker say about Esperanto in China?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard, or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
George Herbert Mead said that humans are talked into humanity. He meant that we gain personal identity as we communicate with others. In the earliest years of our lives, our parents tell us who we are. You're intelligent. You're so strong. We first see ourselves through the eyes of others, so their messages form important foundations of our self-concepts. Later, we interact with teachers, friends, romantic partners, and co-workers, who communicate their views of us. Thus, how we see ourselves reflects the views of us that others communicate. The profound connection between identity and communication is dramatically evident in children who are deprived of human contact. Case studies of children who were isolated from others reveal that they lack a firm self-concept, and their mental and psychological development is severely hindered by lack of language. Communication with others not only affects our sense of identity, but also directly influences our physical and emotional well-being. Consistently, research shows that communicating with others promotes health, whereas social isolation is linked to stress, disease, and early death. People who lack close friends have greater levels of anxiety and depression than people who are close to others. A group of researchers reviewed scores of studies that traced the relationship between health and interaction with others. The conclusion was that social isolation is statistically as dangerous as high blood pressure, smoking, and obesity. Many doctors and researchers believe that loneliness harms the immune system, making us more vulnerable to a range of minor and major illnesses.
Now the passage will be read again. George Herbert Mead said that humans are talked into humanity. He meant that we gain personal identity as we communicate with others. In the earliest years of our lives, our parents tell us who we are. You're intelligent. You're so strong. We first see ourselves through the eyes of others, so their messages form important foundations of our self-concepts. Later, we interact with teachers, friends, romantic partners, and co-workers who communicate their views of us. Thus, how we see ourselves reflects the views of us that others communicate. The profound connection between identity and communication is dramatically evident in children who are deprived of human contact. Case studies of children who were isolated from others reveal that they lack a firm self-concept, and their mental and psychological development is severely hindered by lack of language. Communication with others not only affects our sense of identity, but also directly influences our physical and emotional well-being. Consistently, research shows that communicating with others promotes health, whereas social isolation is linked to stress, disease, and early death. People who lack close friends have greater levels of anxiety and depression than people who are close to others. A group of researchers reviewed scores of studies that traced the relationship between health and interaction with others. The conclusion was that social isolation is statistically as dangerous as high blood pressure, smoking, and obesity. Many doctors and researchers believe that loneliness harms the immune system, making us more vulnerable to a range of minor and major illnesses.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. George Herbert Mead said that humans are talked into humanity. He meant that we gain personal identity as we communicate with others. In the earliest years of our lives, our parents tell us who we are. You're intelligent. You're so strong. We first see ourselves through the eyes of others, so their messages form important foundations of our self-concepts. Later, we interact with teachers, friends, romantic partners, and co-workers who communicate their views of us. Thus, how we see ourselves reflects the views of us that others communicate. The profound connection between identity and communication is dramatically evident in children who are deprived of human contact. Case studies of children who were isolated from others reveal that they lack a firm self-concept, and their mental and psychological development is severely hindered by lack of language. Communication with others not only affects our sense of identity, but also directly influences our physical and emotional well-being. Consistently, research shows that communicating with others promotes health, whereas social isolation is linked to stress, disease, and early death. People who lack close friends have greater levels of anxiety and depression than people who are close to others. A group of researchers reviewed scores of studies that traced the relationship between health and interaction with others. The conclusion was that social isolation is statistically as dangerous as high blood pressure, smoking, and obesity. Many doctors and researchers believe that loneliness harms the immune system, making us more vulnerable to a range of minor and major illnesses.
This is the end of listening comprehension.